I'm sure glad to see my friend Chris sitting here. We met her last night. It was a pleasure to meet her and sit down and hang out and talk. And I just, it was a good time last night. She got some stuff off her chest and we got to listen. And we were praying for her and just glad that she's here today. She fits in perfect with the rest of us. How else can I say it? She fits perfectly in with us, you know? She knows the struggles of this life and what's going through. And I know for one thing, when you get under the Bible preaching and you get under the men of God who can love you and get underneath the people and the sisters who pray for you, things can change. Things can happen. I mean, it's a miracle. It's just an absolute miracle that I stand here today. I'm not a perfect man, but I'm saved by a perfect God. And when I'm saved, you know, by Him, it's by His grace I am who I am. And I may not be much to this world, and that's okay. I don't strive to please this world anymore. I've left that behind. I strive to please God. I fail at that a lot, but there's things that He's happy with me about. There's things He's not so happy with me about, and I just have to get those things right in my life. Here's the difference between me and I don't know how many people, but there are quite a few. I want to get those things out of my life. I don't want them in there anymore. I don't want them to be part of my life. I want to be separate from this world. It's pretty clear. Covered in tattoos. I don't know how many I got. I don't know, 50, 60 plus or whatever. I lived in the world. I lived for this world. I lived for the sin. I lived for the fight, the thrill, the robberies. I mean, I lived for all that. Being in jails and prisons wasn't a problem for me. It wasn't an issue. Hey, you're going away for a while. Okay, let's go. Vacation, time to get it on. That's just how it became. It became so much that the correction officers in that knew my name. Matter of fact, I live next to one who still remembers me. He's now my neighbor. How's that? I get to witness to him. Jailhouse religion. Everybody has heard it. That's what he sees a lot of. Sorry to say, but I don't have jailhouse religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how I am who I am today. Not by anything I do. If it's up to me, I would fail at everything that I do. And I, you know, without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I can never be anything. And I realize that now. It's not a bad thing. I get sad. I have a broken heart, and I'm not going to get into a whole shebang. I just have a broken heart when we have missing people here. It hurts me. I ask pastors, will it ever be easy? He goes, will it ever be easy when your kids do wrong at 90 years old? Will it still be easy then? No, it may not ever be. But I don't, you know, it hurts me. But could you imagine what God is thinking? When He's looking down and saying, gosh, I brought you this far, this many steps, and here you are, you're going backwards again. Here you are, you let go of everything that I've been showing you, you're just throwing it all away. And I'm just here to tell you it's not worth it. It's funny what I'm going to preach on. God gave me this last week. It's called, Are You Willing? Are You Willing? We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 17. It's called, Are You Willing? And I'm just telling you, man. When you say you're willing, there's a price you're going to pay. There's no question about that. But when you say you're willing and then don't do it and you back out of it, it's even a harder price to pay. I mean, it's a really hard price. Don't sit there and promise God things that you can't keep.
Right.
He doesn't like it. Okay? He knows that we're humans and we want to say things from our heart and just, you know what, don't do it. Just go ahead and don't promise. He says don't swear by anything on heaven or earth. Just don't swear anything to His name. Yeah, I'll do this promise. I promise, Father, I'll change. I promise I'll do this and that. And then put it on the back burner. He doesn't take that stuff lightly. He's going to hold you to your word. Just go ahead and don't make any promises you can't keep to the Father. Just don't do it. You're better off that way. You're better off. He's always going to be all right. Be willing comes at a cost. God challenges our hearts when He asks us to be willing. Why? It's a challenge when God says, I need you to be willing to do this. I need you to be willing to do that. Right there at that moment when you're face to face with Him, you're on prayer with Him. He said, I just need you to become willing. You go, Father, here am I. Send me. And then He goes, okay, now we're going to challenge your heart. We're going to see where your heart is really at. We're going to see what's really in your heart, big boy. We're going to see if this is what you really want. Oh, you think you're willing? Let's just try that out then. It's going to make you come at what a call. It's going to be a cost. Let me see. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows our hearts. So when he asks us to be willing, he does so wanting to see where our heart is and what we're really willing to give him. He makes us look at our own wicked hearts and make it willing for him. The price we pay for being willing can be painful spiritually, physically, mentally, and financially. This is where most people stop being willing and wonder why their lives are the way they are. Are you willing to pay the price to be willing for what God may have for you? Listen to me. When God says, are you willing? When he puts it in your heart, are you ready to be willing to do what it's going to be for me? And I don't just have to be a minister. I'm just going to let you know, it could be that you have to be a better mother, or a better father, or a better something at work, or read your Bible, or stand in church when you're supposed to be in church. Are you willing? Are you willing? And then you say yes. He wants to see what's in your heart. Now, it's easy to see what's in people's heart, because what they live is what's really in their heart. What they say, how they dress, the things they do, that's what's really in their heart. And God wants to see that. You know why he wants to see it? Because he wants to show you. He wants you to see what's really in your heart. Are you really willing? Let's see what's in your heart. Exodus 35:29 says, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. The children of Israel brought a willing offering. I know that he's talking about Israel Hill, but just think about that. They brought a willing offering. How many of us today are willing to bring a willing offering to God? Of what, no matter what it is in our life. There's things me and Amy used to try to hold on to. Oh, Lord, please let us just keep this. Oh, Lord, just let us keep that. He said, oh, no, it's got to go. Are you willing to give that up? A lot of people, you know why they don't get saved? Because they're not willing to do anything for God. They think they go ahead and they know the answer. You know what? They're not willing.
That's right.
And their heart shows them that. You know what? God flips that around and says, here, I want you to see what's in your heart. You're not willing. Do you think they get it? They don't get it. They don't see it. They don't understand it. And God's just trying to show them, look at it, I want a willing offering. I just want you to offer me this. I just want you to bring this for me. And it can be something small and simple, and guess what? They can't even bring that to them. Let me just say this. People say they want to be willing and they want to serve the Lord. And you know what? He gives them a responsibility to be in the house of God when they're supposed to be here, and they can't even hold that. Why would he give them anything else? I'm just saying. Why would he give them anything else? When God says, are you willing? He wants you to come willing. God had to break me of that, didn't he, Amy? I told my Sunday school that I wasn't always willing to come to church all the time. But I just tell you what, God had to grip my heart, rip it out, stomp it, put it on the ground and say, now that is what you really are. I said, whoa.
Amen.
Now, by the grace of God, and I'm not bragging, but almost in the three and a half years, I think I only missed a couple days of church because of my back. But I've been faithful. I've traveled to Georgia. I travel to Hornell. I come here. Anytime the doors are open, no matter what church is in, if I can get to it, I'm going to it. Why? Because I became willing. And God took over from there. He just wants you to be willing. He knows you're a human being. You can't do anything. You're not Superman or Wonder Woman. He knows that. He understands. We don't understand that God knows us. He knows who we are, what we are. He knows our hearts. He knows our being. We just don't think that way about him. We think we know what's best. We think we have all the answers. We know what's right. Now, listen, we're talking about a holy. Listen, how big is your God? Well, he can't run your life. He's not very big in many people's life, and that's obvious to see. When you have a big God in your life, you're going to do things that are pleasing to him. When you have a small God in your life, you're going to do things to please yourself. You're not worried about what God thinks. Not worried about what God thinks at all. You're not willing to suffer some things. It doesn't matter if it's family, friends, people. I mean, my wife always says, maybe you shouldn't say that kind of stuff. Listen, I'm not here to please a person in this room. I'm not here to make anybody happy. If I make a mistake with God, he'll let me know. But I'm just telling you this, whatever comes out of my mouth is what God has put in my heart. And I'm not going to shut up about it. I don't care who I am.
Amen.
I'm sorry if I hurt you. You take it up with God then. I mean, I'm not going to come out and call you names and, you know, do this and that. But when God puts something on my heart to preach, I'm not backing down. I'm not going to back down from it. I didn't back down in my past life living the way I wanted to live. I'm not going to back down now when I serve a holy God. He wants me to do things. And I'm not going to come at you all crazy. I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, when there's something to preach, it's going to be preached. The day I ever start compromising, I just hope the Lord just take me right out. Just take me out. Don't let me even come out here behind any pulpit, no matter where I'm at. Take me out, because I don't want to compromise at all. But a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, you see that woman's in there, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. We see that the word here is talking about the children of Israel. And I want to make a spiritual doctrinal application with this. But also I want to keep it in the text and who it's talking to. We can learn a lot from the Old Testament and the children of Israel, just as well as the New Testament. Or God would have not given it to us. Do you realize there's people out there today that won't read the Old Testament and say it doesn't pertain to us now? They don't even understand. That's a lie. Why would God leave it for us then? There's reasons why the Old Testament's there. There's reasons why God says stuff in the Old Testament. One of the reasons is God doesn't change. He's the same God in the Old Testament as in the New. He just, listen, He wants us to realize, and it's only by studying that I've gotten in here and really have just, in the past probably few months, have just really seen the New Testament in the Old Testament in the New Testament. You can just go in there and just find, I mean, thing after thing. I mean, just why the things are done now the way they are done. And you know what? It follows the Old Testament. It followed Paul. I'm not even going to get into it. But, you know, the word salt, I went back there. I found it in Leviticus. And then you can just see why God calls us the salt, the sacrifice. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, make your body a sacrifice. Go out there and be the salt. That goes back to Leviticus 2, where he says all the sacrifices should be salted. And that's why we're salted. When I became a sacrifice, a living, I'm not a dead sacrifice. I'm a living sacrifice.
Amen.
I'm living and I'm salt. You know what? Salt, God told me to go out there and be the salt of the earth. Why? To go out there and preserve what he has. What does he have? He has hope. Okay? He has hope. There's salvation in Jesus Christ. There's a changed life while you're here on earth. And he wants us to go out there and preserve that. He wants us to go out there and show people that. Give them some flavor, man. Wake some people up. Give them some zest in life. I ain't never had this much zest in my life as a lost person. Just did.
Amen.
It's very important that we know the whole Bible, not just what you want to pick and choose. You know, now don't just pick and choose. There's a reason why. If you don't understand the verse, go back and read it. Go back and read. Go find out why. You want to know a word? Just stay away from commentaries and everything else. It'll just cloud your mind. Go find it yourself right here in the Word. It's there. I promise you it's there. You're talking about a guy who was addicted to some pretty powerful drugs my whole life. Who can go in here and find this stuff. That's how easy it is. Don't tell me you can't read. Please, I don't want to hear that garbage. Okay? Alcoholic, my brain's all burnt out and everything else, and I'm still getting this word, I can still understand it and find it. What makes me any different than you? I have a willingness, I have a drive inside of me that wants to know this Bible. Does anybody want to know the Bible anymore? Doesn't anybody want to just have a willingness to know what this really stands for, what it really means? I'm new to this, I didn't grow up a Christian life, and I sit back and I weep and go, this is where the church is at? They've left the things of God. We've just turned our back on everything. Pastor says it perfectly. And I see it so clearly. And I wish I could just hit everybody that can see things like the Lord has shown me. And we put our defense up. And we've lost the whole meaning. The whole thing is gone. The whole reason why Jesus came down to die was for sinners. But we don't want them in our church. We play musical churches with each other and leave the sinners lost out there.
Come on.
What a shame. What a shame. This place is a hospital for the sick. This is where I got healed. This is where I got healed. My wife got healed here. It's what it's for. And yet we want to shun people, talk bad about them, tell them they stink, you're no good. No, I'm glad God's bringing me people like that. I'm glad I'm going to be able to go out there and put my arm around some people like that. Because you know what? If you guys can't love them, then I will. I've been with them, man.
Amen.
I know what they're about. You know what? Jesus died for them just as well as he did me. If he can do it for me, why can't he do it for them out there?
Amen.
Man, that's a lost art in these churches today. I'm just telling you right now. They don't want those type of people in the pews. Just find some spray. When they leave, spray it. No big deal. Wash it with Lysol or whatever. But you know what? Let these people come in and get something. He's got just as much for them as he does any of us sitting in this church today. I guarantee that he does. We're not the only ones. Get off the high horse, man. Get off the pride. Let it go. We're not the only ones. We're not just the special ones in Black Creek that God has us for. Just saying. There's people out there, you know what? Just be willing. I'm willing to go out there and get my head chopped off for people. And I don't mean that physically. If they do it, they do it. I know I'm going to go to heaven. But I mean, I'm just going to go out there. I don't know much of anything. But I just know I'm going to go out there with a Bible. Whatever God gives me, I'm just going to give it to the people. If God's not in it, then it's not going to work. If he's in it, then it'll be fine. It was never about me to start with. Never about me. When I go to Olean Monday the 23rd, it's not about me. And what Dale can do and Nick Coffey and tell him. That's not about me. It's about what Jesus Christ did for me. What he did for me and still is doing for me. That's what I'm saying, you know? People want to challenge people on the Bible and this and that. I'm not that smart at it, but I'll tell you what, I bet you I can defend it pretty good. That's not what God called me to do. I would do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. Here's my heart's desire, people. It's just to go out there and begin to start something in these people. Let them see. Chris, when I met you last night, I didn't shove anything down your throat, did I? I just told her what Jesus Christ could have for her. I said there's a love out there that you're just missing. Amy said, we're not salesmen. We're not trying to sell you a Bible. We're not trying to sell you a church. We're not trying to sell you Jesus Christ. We're just trying to show you there's something different out there.
Amen.
Because that's our heart's desire, is to show people there's something different out there. Everybody's just missing that. And I want them to see it. Hey, yo, I can only go out there and open my mouth and, you know, whatever God gives me, he gives me. The rest is on him. He'll take care of the rest. He says, you go out there and just do what I say. I'll take care of the rest. The rest is on his shoulders, not mine. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. I'm a man. The Bible says Israel brought a willing offering. This is something that had to be settled with the Lord and in their heart, that they would be willing to give unto the Lord. Now, God asked them for different things, silver and so on. Some people brought silver. Some people brought gold. That's a picture of... There's some of us could go out there and be a preacher. A pastor. Some of us could be a pastor. Some could be a preacher. Some could be a teacher. Some could be a toilet scrubber. Somebody could be on these pews praying. You know what? Those are the different things God's asking people to be willing. And people get this big thing in their head. Well, if you're not this, then God just don't ask you to do anything. That's a lie. We're all a body. And we all have different functions. And there's all different things that we can do. And God's just asking every one of us to be willing to do that. It may be, and I'm going to use my family as an example, that my two kids, Luke, going to raise them the way the Bible says. And it may be that Luke may sit on the pew for the rest of his life being a prayer warrior, and that'd be it. But God's asking him to be willing to do that. He needs somebody like that. We need prayer warriors just as much as we need somebody who will give up here and preach the Bible. We need people to clean the toilets, clean the church and everything else just as much as we need somebody to come up here and clean this, or I'll preach this. God asks for different things. Autumn, you know what? She may just be a wife to a man who takes care of her. They raise children and they sit in the pew and that's all they do. Love the church, serve the Lord, go out there and do what the Lord has them to do. And you know what? He just asks people to be willing to do that. Willing. But you know what? What are people willing to do anymore? NASCAR, baseball, football. They're willing to go to that. They're willing to go out there and sit for that. That's not a problem to go out there and sit on a Sunday and miss church and go ahead and do that kind of stuff. It's okay to do that. It's not even a big issue anymore. It's even okay that if you have a problem with somebody not to sit in the house of God. How's that? And you call yourself a Christian? I'm sorry. You're right. I shouldn't offend you. Not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. As a Christian, I'm not going to sit here and judge you. The Bible will judge you. That's not my job. Okay? I'm not going to go out there and say, well, I don't think you belong in this church because of this and that. So, you know what? You can stay here. I'm going to go home. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get whatever the Lord gives me. I'm going to preach it. Well, he gets me out of that Bible. Whatever he does in your heart, that's on you. That's on you what he does in your heart. But I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to preach his word. But then we have people calling themselves a Christian who won't even be around people. They think these certain people shouldn't be here. Or, you know, this stinky person here, this person will have teeth there. And, you know, you can't come in. That's the way the churches are being with people, man. That's the way churches are being with people. And I just think it's a shame. I thank God that Pastor John Asquith walked in this church almost 7 years ago, walked up to me and told me, no matter what I said, he said, I'm going to be your pastor. I said, no, you're not. He didn't give up on me.
Amen.
Just saying. He didn't come in here telling me how to dress. He didn't come in here telling me how I had to change my life. You know what he did? He preached the Bible. Put his arm around me, loved me. That's all he did. That was just that simple. That's what he does to people. That's a lost art today. You go to another church, you won't see that.
No.
Just don't see it anymore. And you got people playing musical churches all over the place. Strap up the boots, people. Man, let's stay here, serve the Lord, get over each other, pray for each other, love each other. Things happen. No matter what church you go to, you're always going to have problems. Why not here? Just settle here. Let's just settle here. Let's bunker in right here and get it done. I'm ready. You know, could you imagine? Me and Amy always look at each other and go, you know what? This pie, the place me, the Lord's going to keep us is right here in Allegheny County. And you know, that's fine. This lost people right here, man. Lost people right here in Allegheny County. And the people here were really hard for me to get along with at first. And I still, you know, I don't know what it is about Allegheny County. But you know what? The Lord's really given me and Amy a heart for them. He's just starting to soften. And I'm not saying perfect, but he's just starting to soften the hearts of me and Amy. There's something here. There's something here to this place, man. I mean, I don't have dreams normally where I get woke up in the middle of the night. Twice I got woken up in the middle of the night over a couple that me and Amy used to be friends with. And it's been a long time since we even talked to these people. But the Lord twice woke me up over these people today.
Amen.
I told Amy, I've been trying to get in contact with them. I'm going to have to go to their house. Why did God put them on my heart? There's a reason why. I don't know why. But I'm going to find out. I'm just going to go say hello. If that's all it is, I'll just go say hello. But there's something there. There's a reason why God... Man, we haven't talked to them in how many years? A long, long time. So I'm not telling you something that... It's just I just talked to them last month. No, it's been years. And man, I got woke up twice. So I got up. I said, Lord, I hear you. You sure? I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm just going to do it. I hear you, Lord. I'm going to get up there. And so... the Lord was not forcing Israel to give things. He wanted them to have a what? It says that he wanted them to be willing, to give a willing sacrifice. He wants you to be willing. He's not going to force himself on you. Do you never know that God is not going to force anything on you? He's going to make you make your own dumb decisions. He gave us a free will. That's why it says willing. Are you willing? Are you willing to serve me? Are you willing to do this for me? Are you willing to do this for me? Are you willing to do this? He wants a willing heart. He doesn't want to have to force anything on you. Because then what does that make him? Just a big puppet master for everybody. God is not a puppet master. You can go ahead and do what you want to do. Live the way you want to live. Do whatever you want to do. It does not matter. God is not going to force himself on you. Don't blame him when you're in hell. Don't blame him when you're burning. Don't blame him when things go bad in your life. Don't blame him when things go wrong. Because you won't even acknowledge him when things are going right in your life. So don't blame him when they start going wrong. You turned your back on him. He did not you. That cross has been there since the day he... it's been there for eternity. But since he got off that cross, it's still been waiting for you to come to it. Still waiting for those of you who are not saved in here today for you to come to it. He did not turn his back on you. It's still there. He's still waiting with open arms. Come on. How many are willing? How many are willing? How many are willing? How many are willing to do this? To go and say, Lord, I really need you to be my all in all. Now be careful. I'm just going to give you all a warning. If you go home and pray it, just be ready. Be ready for what he's going to do. Lord, I just want you to be my all in my life. I'm willing to allow you to do what you have to do in my life. And like I said, be careful if you go do that because he's going to start doing stuff in your life you may not be so willing to. He wants to see where you stand. Are you just this? Anybody can pop their lips. I come up with a thing, my wife said, if, you know, I've been around the ministry for a few years, not in it, just around it, watching people and so on. I see a lot of this. I don't see a lot of this. People should have talked, know how to talk of good ministry. They shouldn't have had to talk, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know what? When it comes to walking the walk, where are they?
That's right.
What are they doing? I'm just saying. And I've only been in the ministry a short time. It breaks my heart to see people like this. Sometimes I want to go, why don't they see it like I do? Because God hasn't got that far with them yet. I have to learn how to slow down and be patient myself. Sometimes I just want to grab this Bible. Why? Why don't you say, what is wrong, you know? That's not what, no. Because could you imagine if God would have did that to me? I mean, he would have cracked my nugget open a whole lot of times. But now I understand when preachers and pastors and evangelists and the people who are in the congregation, I understand when they say, man, did you see? Do you realize that now? Do you understand that now? Do you see that now? And I go, man, I do. Why don't they? How come they're not? You know, and you want to just pound them out, man. You can't do that. Yeah, okay, God showed me some things. God shows the saved people some things. And we, pastor, we just want to go, why don't you see it? Because we want them to see it. That's just not the way it goes, you know. God, I'm just telling you. I have to learn how to be patient, people, so be patient with me, man. I mean, just, I wish, I seen it. Now everybody should see it, you know. That's my attitude. It's not always that way. But willing. God wants us to be willing. Am I willing to be patient with people? Yeah. I was never a people person. We all know my history. We know my, you know, my background. I just wasn't a people person. And he goes, gosh, it just comes so easy for us because I'm willing. I really, I've been hurt in the last few months, few weeks, whatever. My heart has really been hurt by people. But I was willing to let that get stepped on. I've been willing to let people do, talk, say, and do whatever they're going to do to me. I've been willing to let that happen to me. Why? So I can learn how to deal with people. So I can learn how to love people. When I tell you that I've really been hurt, I mean I've been hurt by people who've said and done, and maybe not even done things to me. That has really hurt my heart. I told the kids today, you know, my Sunday school today, I said, I feel like I lost all my friends since I got into this. It's something that I'm willing to do. I mean, I know I didn't totally, but I'm just, it feels like that. But the Lord said, I need you to be willing, Dale. You just have to be willing. Are you willing to stand on this thing with me and me alone? Am I willing to, if he ever just called me to go ahead, pack my family up and go somewhere, am I willing to be out there with just him and my family? And he needed me to experience that just a little bit, just to get a little taste of, are you really willing? I'm willing. I'm not saying it's easy. Lord, please heal my back. I busted out last week and just had a tear fest. Asked my wife, I'm bawling. I said, it's just so hard for me to take this, man. I feel like a cripple at 42. I never imagined Dale being this way at 42, or I can't do anything for my family. And listen, for people who think that I just like to sit at home and do nothing, I hate it. I just want you to know I hate it. I don't like sitting at home doing nothing. I want to be out there supporting my wife. But you know what? I got a thorn in my side that the Lord has got me here for a reason. And I have to swallow that. I got to accept that. Am I willing to do it? Yes, I'm willing to do it. But Lord, you have to help me because I'm not strong in it.
Amen.
You think I like watching my wife walk to work and I sit home? I sit home playing video games all day long. That's all I do. You're not wrong. I don't. But you know what? The Lord has his, you know what? I just have to be willing. I said, Amy, please, I'm sorry, honey. I clean the house. Go ahead and laugh. I clean, I do laundry. I make sure the kids are taken care of. I do all that. Because God forbid if I was sitting around there and I stay home and do nothing. Amen. If I'm going to be at home, I'm going to do something. I get to study. I get to get close to the Lord. But you know, he said, are you willing to be through this? I don't know what the Lord has in store for me. I don't know what my future is. He obviously does. But does that make it any easier? No. But am I willing? I'm willing. You see me, he's still here. I told Pastor today, I just want to let you all know now, I get paid zilch for doing anything that I do in the ministry, and I enjoy it.
Yeah. Amen.
Enjoy it. Travels, brochures, all that. I don't get paid for any of it. Not one inkling of it. But I'm still out there. Why? Amen. What is my reward? Because my reward is not here. I don't do it for money. Oh, do we have a lot of money, hon? Money's nice. Money would be great. But you know what? Not right now. The Lord said not right now. Who's willing to go through it with me? Pink.
Amen.
Pink. It wasn't always like that.
Okay. I like it.
My wife would pray at night that I would die. It wasn't always like it. So who's willing? I'm willing. Our family pays a price for this. Don't you think for one second that my family just goes and I come here and I preach and this, it's a good time. I pay a price for this, man. My family pays a price for this. But you know what? We're willing. Oh, my wife, she's not, you know, she's not good at talking with people and this and that. She goes, I just don't have it in me and this and that. And I don't force anything. I would never force anything. I just love her testimony's out there now. And I love for people to read it and see it. She don't ever have to say anything ever. But you know, she's just like, I just don't have words and this and that. Well, when I first met somebody yesterday, my new friend, I barely got any words in. My wife said it all. Huh? But was she willing? She was willing. I don't ever make you do nothing, do I? You don't ever have to say a word, I tell her. Don't say nothing. I'll go there and deal with whatever situation it is. But if she wants to open her mouth, I let her. Why not? She got a very powerful testimony. If you've never read it, it's right over there. We got brochures of Amy's testimony now, and it's pretty powerful. And I'm just telling you, willing. Who's willing? There's a price to pay. Tell me there's not a price to pay, Montgomery's. Tell me there's not a price to pay for your family. You know there is. You know, I watch the prices they pay. They're willing. And I'm not saying other families in here don't. You guys pay a price too. I'm just saying, who's willing anymore? I'm going to get this all mixed up. The Lord, to a saved person, expects the same from a believer. He expects them. In Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. That means give yourself. Present means here, this is yours. Here, this is yours. Here, that's yours, Lord. Present it to them. Here, this is yours. Present your bodies. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. He does not think that's unreasonable for you to do. That's something he just expects. Are you willing to do that? Your body. And be not conformed to this world. There's the big one. Being conformed to this world. People, we live in a wicked generation. I'm just going to let you know now. But in Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, there's no new thing under the sun. This stuff has already happened. It doesn't catch God off guard. He's not surprised by the things that go on. He understands what's going on. He said, there's no new thing under the sun. There may be new ways we do it, quicker, faster, more disgusting ways and this and that, but there's no new thing here that God can't handle. He was saying, that Bible's old-fashioned. It can handle anything you ever come up against. Guarantee that. God in this Bible can handle anything you ever think possible. Ever. We always think, gosh, we watch these poor families, and some of them, they lose little ones, you know, to death. And we go, gosh, how did they do that? And we'll just sit back and go, God did that. God did that. I mean, could you imagine losing a little one and then staying faithful to God, going out there and serving Him? And staying faithful and saying, Lord, I love you. I know you took my child from us, but we're here to serve you and do what you want. Joshua Rhodes. He lost a little baby. And he's still out there in the ministry. Loves the Lord, out there serving. But could you imagine that though? That's what God sees that some people need. I know one of the things that God needs me and Amy to see is we are not going to have money. And I'm not preaching because I want money. Don't keep your money. I'm just saying, but we've both come to an agreement. Like, God just doesn't want us to have money like that. We're never good stewards with our money or whatever else you want to call it. God needs to keep us right on the edge. Boy, we live on the edge. He likes to keep us right on the edge where we really need to rely on Him for anything.
That's right.
And I'm telling you now, I'm not Superman. I'm the S on my chest. That's not Wonder Woman. That becomes real hard, don't it? Yeah. That's real hard stuff, but you know what? It's easy when you got each other, when you have the Lord. You know, our kids, Most houses are just tore up, Pastor, when they have hard times. Look at my kids. See if they can recall any hard times we have. See if they get involved in our finances or anything. Our kids don't have a clue about it. They don't pay the price for what goes on. They don't pay the price because me and Amy don't have money. They're not the ones suffering. They're not the ones caught between arguments and name callings and everything else that people get into when they don't have money. That's something between me and my wife that we have to take care of. They're not paying the price for that. I'm not going to let them pay that price. It's not their responsibility. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That means to become something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Become something new. Transformed. Transform means to be, you were one thing, now you're going to become another. That's what you need. That's what happens when Jesus. This thing called Christianity, and you don't, nothing happens to you, you got the wrong Jesus. I'm just letting you know that right now. You will not say and stay the same person. You have a holy God living inside you. How is that even possible? That's what blows my mind. Instead of all this stuff that the fundamentalists argue over and all this stuff, what blows my mind is you sit here and tell me that you believe in a holy God, that you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is God. Then He comes and dwells inside of you, and you're going to stay the same? How do you get that? Where do you get that from? I can't get that into my head and my heart. It doesn't make sense to me. Change is going to happen. Why? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants you to be willing to do that. Why? So you can go out there and you can live your life in society and people can say, gosh, there's something different about this guy. There's something different about this family. I mean, we get compliments all the time. Oh, how do you get your kids like that? Why are they acting like that? Gosh, they're so good here. They're this. Yeah, let me give you a little story of what we went through to get them. Let me tell you a little bit about what Jesus had to step in between me and my wife's life. My wife didn't grow up as rough as I did, but she had a rough household. The things her parents did to her were rough to her. And put her on the wrong path. Now you know my past. So we put both of us together. Now we're supposed to be parents. Who's teaching us how to be parents?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not gonna, and also watching other Christian men and women who've been married for a long time, watching how they treat their kids. One of the first things that after I got saved, the Lord really taught me, nobody ever preached on it. But I watched Pastor John and Willa Shanks, how they treated their wife. The Lord about kicked my teeth out of my throat for the way I was treating my wife. I started getting it right ever since then. I don't keep it perfect. I just said I've been getting it right ever since then because I've seen that when our ladies are to be treated like God wants them to be treated. And when I not always ask for, I'm sorry, did I do something wrong? Forgive me. You know what? I'm just telling you, it makes a whole bit of difference in my prayer, my Bible reading, how I deal with people, how the rest of my day goes, if I treat my wife right. And I see all these other Christian men treat their ladies, and I say, well, and then you read the Bible, what's it tell you? How many of you guys really honestly hate your own flesh? You do take care of it. Ain't nobody in here so skinny that anorexic and all that kind. You take care of your own body. So let me tell you something. When you get married, you're to take care of your wife as your own body.
Amen.
You become one. We match. No. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love everything about what that me and her go through. You know, she's always worried about her weight. I said, babe, I'm not worried about it. It doesn't bother me. It bothers you and I'm sorry, then do something about it. I can't do it for you. If I could do it for her, I definitely would. You would I not? You know I would. But I'm just telling you, if you want to do something about it, go ahead. But if not, I'm going to love you the same.
Amen.
I love you the same. I mean, she's my wife. God gave me a heart for her, man. He showed me how to fall in love with my wife. And we don't have a perfect marriage. But I'm just telling you, I'm willing. Willing. You know, that's what the whole thing is about, being willing to think differently, to act differently, to do things differently. And for me to love my wife and be faithful to her, that took a lot of God. It took a miracle in my heart because I was not a faithful person. You know? And there's a lot of us in here that have that story behind us. But willing. Willing to become a husband for my wife. Willing to become a dad, a father for my children. That's what I've become. I'm willing to come up here and preach. I'm willing to love people who just are not loved by many people. And you know why? Because I was a person that nobody loved. And if they did, it was very few. But God loved me. The Lord loved me. He led me here. I got saved. I mean, he just never turned his back on me. It was pretty relentless. Once I realized that God was after me, it was pretty relentless. And then, you know, pastor, always preaching. Listen, if you want salvation, it'd be the number one thing in your life. That's all you'll ever seek. And I'll tell you, that became me. It took many years. I'm a hard head. I may not seem like it now, but trust me, you. If you were standing and you could see the things God sees about me, you go, dang, Dale's a hard head. He's a knucklehead. I get beat up a few times and I gotta just quit. All right, I'm done. We try something different to see, you know. This getting beat up stuff isn't, you know, it's not fun. But who's willing? Let me go on just a little bit more here. God says this is our reasonable service and that we should be willing to give, whether it be our time, money, help, prayer, or in the ministries. The children of Israel in our text became willing because they wanted what was in their heart. The children of Israel left us a good example here of having a willing heart. When somebody walked up with gold, they really just loved the Lord. They really wanted to give them everything. So they would walk up and give them gold. When somebody silver, they had a heart. They loved the Lord. They wanted to do everything they could, but all they could afford was silver, so they gave them silver. Or wood or cloth or whatever else the Lord needed. Every single one of them, one by one, would go up there. Jewelry, bracelets, earrings, all that stuff. Whatever they could give, they went and gave. They just said, here, Lord, it is yours. We're giving it all to you. How many of us today in this church are willing to do that for the Lord? How many of us are really willing just to give up everything we believe and say? And I'm not saying believe in this. I'm talking about our worldly beliefs, the way our lifestyles are, the way we do things. How many of us are willing to lay that on the line and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing. Pick yourself up. Present yourself to God and say, this is yours. Do with it what you will. There's a price to pay. Now, when people find out, oh, that sounds good, and then God will start blessing me, and oh, that'd be fun. But then he says, let me try you out real quick. And as soon as he does that, you turn your back and run like a little coward. We know how that goes. We know how it goes because you know why? We have empty families, we have empty pews, we have empty churches, we have empty prayer lives, we have empty people reading Bibles. Nobody doing that anymore. They want to serve God. They want to, oh, I want to do this for God, and I want to magnify his name, and then some pressure comes on them, and they're gone.
Come on.
Pew. How do I know? Listen, I can barely keep my eyes open as I stand up here today because I'm so tired. I don't get any sleep. You ask my wife how much sleep I run on. And then I still go out there and I serve the Lord, raise my family, and do everything the Lord asks me to do. Why? Because I'm not trying to be that slippery sinker. I'm trying to be willing for the Lord. I'll tell you. I don't know about you, but I'd like to go home and go to sleep right now. I'd like to go home and hope. Well, I can't even lay down very much in my own bed. I got to sleep in a chair, bed, floor, wherever I could be comfortable for a few hours. I'd sure like to do that. But I'll just tell you what, I'm not running from God. Because I feel tired. I'll pat myself on the back. Poor baby. Really, who's willing to go put yourself through what you got to go through, man? Who's willing to stand up anymore for the Lord? There's very few men. I mean, when you sit back and just think about it, you're like, man, where'd they all go? What happened? What happened? You know, revival, changed lives, all that stuff starts right here in our own hearts, in each individual heart. It starts right here in our own families. Pastor says it well. You're not going to go to Washington or Albany or any of these other places and change their mind, but you can change your families, man. We can change our family. How many of you are willing to go through and pay the price? My mother just absolutely can't believe that I spanked my children. Because she can't discern the abuse that she went through in the spankings. I've literally had to, when my kids misbehave, I've had to take my children and discipline them in front of her so she can see how I do it. So she understands that I'm not abusing my children. I had to do that just to calm her. She thought I was a crazy. I just had to show her time and time again. Now, I'm not afraid to spank my kids in front of my mother because I want her to see this is how we do it every time. And she understands that now. My mother is okay with this thing. Because she knows I don't go after my kids in anger and want to kick them down the stairs and beat their faces and all that stuff. I don't do that to my child. I approach my kids mad. I approach them when I may be mad inside, but when I get to them, they know what's coming. I'm nice and calm. I'll go ahead and give them their discipline. It's over with. I'll give them a few minutes to get the crying and whining out of the done. 10 to 15 minutes later, I'll come in. Are you willing to talk? Yep, talk. Everything's done. Good. Let's shake hands, talk, kiss. You know why you got what you did? You did good. Are we over it? Do you have an issue with me? I don't have an issue. I don't have an issue with you. You paid the price. Let's move on the rest of the day. It's over with.
Amen.
All right? That's how we run our house. They paid their price. But who's willing to go through that? You think that came overnight? I'm going to tell you now. It didn't come overnight. So having my children be not good in church and good at going out there. There was times we got the idea from Pastor, being the grocery store for kids act up. We used to do it. I can bring my kids to a grocery store now. Once in a while, I have to pull them aside and say, okay, this is your one and only warning. You're going to get it right here. And it'll be done. But I will leave. We've done it many times. But now it's to the point that we're willing to take what the Lord has taught us from watching other men and women of God and go ahead and put that into our children. And it has worked out very well for us. Very well. Now, are my kids going to grow up to be perfect angels? No. But now they know rules and regulations. They can listen to somebody when they tell them to do something. They're more apt to do what's right than wrong. You see, that all comes from being willing to go ahead and teach your kids to take your time. You know who wants to do that with you? God. You just don't see it that way. You don't see that God wants, all he wants you to do is be willing and then he'll take over. But are you willing to get some spankings yourself? Are you willing to get some punishments yourself? Are you willing to get some bumps and bruises yourself? Are you willing to take a couple bloody noses yourself? That's what it's going to take, man, to get you out of where you're at. Don't think I didn't go through it to get out of where I'm at. I went through it. But I'm very happy to be where I'm at. I'm very happy to be on this side. I am so, you know, I just wish that you guys would just come to God with a willing heart and allow him to start. Listen, he can do above anything you ever imagined. Now, if 10 years or 12 years ago, if you would have ever thought in a million years that I'd be standing back here preaching out of the Word of God, raising my family as a Christian, saved, having a changed life, dressed the way I dress, doing the things I do. If you could have ever said, Dale, in 12 years, that's what's going to happen to you. I would laugh in your face. But I understand he can do above all that you can even imagine he can do. Here's the thing. Are you willing? Not many people are willing. I'm just going to tell you now, there's people sitting in this church house have just heard what I preached. Maybe some have heard what pastors preached. Maybe some have heard what on the website. Maybe some have heard what pastor preached at 10 o'clock service. You'll walk out of here and throw it all away. You've heard it all and you'll throw it all away. It will do nothing to you in your life. Nothing. Now, come up here. Stand up here as a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist, and continue to do that. And knowing that people are going to walk out of here and everything that the Lord gave you, you're not even going to pay attention to. And you do it week after week, week after week, week after week. Week after week. That's what we put up with. Because I can say, I'll be as bold as this. I'll say over 50% of this church will walk out of here and not pay attention to anything that was preached. Never even touched their heart. If it did, they'll just put it on the back burner. Psh. That's a hard place to stand. But are you willing? Are you willing to go to that place with the Lord? He knows what he's doing. I don't. If I thought that I had that I was in charge, if I thought that I knew what I was doing, I wouldn't come here and preach anymore at 1 o'clock. So I would give it up and say, I don't want to be there. There's only a few people show. Why do I want to be there? It's not about me. Never been about me. It's about who the Lord has sitting here. It's about who's sitting here at the times that he has me up here preaching. That's what it's about. And I'm willing to put up with it. If there was one person here. A couple people said that they like the team Bible study. And I'm going to close with this. And I really was going to give up the team Bible study because I just didn't think it was going to go anywhere. And I found out that a couple people liked it. They enjoyed it. And guess what? I'm willing to keep it open for them.
Nice.
I'm done. Thank you.